Thanks so much for having me to bring God's word to you tonight. Thank you for lending us your pastor who's ministering to the saints at Vienna tonight, and warm greetings from all your friends there. It's great to be back with you, and we're going to turn in God's word tonight to Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 41. That's on page 910 in the Blue Bibles. I'm going to bring you what I brought to the people at Vienna this morning. It's what's kind of topmost on my heart and mind. At Vienna, it so happens that we just finished up one book of Scripture. We went through Ecclesiastes. We're going to start through a New Testament book in a couple weeks. But we're taking some time to dwell on the doctrine of the church. And church membership is what I have to bring to you tonight. And this, we're going to start then from Acts chapter 2 as a kind of starting point. It's a topical message, so I'm not going to go through the passage and exegete it phrase by phrase. It's more just to look at what the scripture says here about what it means to join God's people, and then we'll look at some other associated passages. As we pick up here in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching to a crowd in Jerusalem, so it's Pentecost. And you may remember the story that God's Spirit has just come down on the church, and they're speaking in tongues, and people hear them in the language of the area that they're from. It's very remarkable. A crowd gathers, and then Peter preaches a great message. He preaches the gospel. And here, we're going to pick up right at the end of his message, and the final verse of our text says something that we need to notice. Acts chapter 2, we'll start in the 36th verse. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you teach us now as we think about what it means to be added to the number of your people. Do instruct us, we pray, and encourage us as well, we ask, through Christ our Savior. Amen. Well, it was a while back when a pastor friend of mine, we were meeting for lunch, and we were meeting at the Panera in Silver Spring, so I'll just let you guess who this pastor was. You know him pretty well. And I suppose as we were doing our pastor talk, a lady who was sitting there overheard us, and so she started talking to us, and she told us a bit of her church story. She told us that she had attended a church in this area, and she had visited, and as she went out, she told the senior pastor that the steps of the church were a bit icy, figuring he'd want to know. And the pastor, as she told the story, rebuked her for her complaining spirit or something like that. And she was so injured and off-put by that, she was actually not going back to church at all. And she was kind of holding that as a story as to why she was so unsettled. And I bring that up because that story, it's actually not that uncommon. And it kind of spotlights the issues that we're going to talk about tonight. Church membership and its complexities. You might think of that lady and think, well, she was too fragile. We don't actually know all the details there, but we could think, you know, on the other hand, the treatment she got is kind of... it kind of illustrates why some people have a hard time joining the church and getting involved. So tonight we're going to talk about church membership, what it is, some objections to it, and then why the Lord wants us to be joined to the number of his people. There's four things we're going to look at tonight, and the first one is the importance of being added. And that's right from our text here. We see here at the end of this passage in Acts that people are baptized as they respond to the gospel and they're added to the church. And their being added means that the leaders of the church count them as belonging. And so what you have there is something like what we call a membership roll. And a membership roll just means a list of those who belong to the church. So we have one of those at Grace Presbyterian in Vienna. You're going to have one here at Knox Church. And so that's the general topic that we're touching on tonight. And so before we talk about why church membership is a biblical idea, I do just want to acknowledge that the concept of church membership has fallen on a bit of hard times. That's really why I brought the message to the folks in Vienna, and that's why I'm bringing this to you tonight. It's not so much that most of us disagree with it or, we're not sure about it. It's more that the concept is we're kind of swimming upstreams against the cultural current these days in believing that one should belong to a church. Because church membership is not universally practiced, it's not universally practiced by churches or by individuals. Many churches these days, and these are probably going to be especially big Bible churches, just don't do church membership at all. I don't know if you knew that. And whatever the arguments for that may be, certainly by not doing membership, you avoid trouble or, work. Because it actually takes effort, of course, to interview people for membership and then to maintain your roles, to pay attention to those who are members who are no longer coming. And then if someone gets disciplined, then you might have to deal with that and try to remove someone who's living in scandalous sin and that sort of thing. So maintaining a membership role takes a lot of work. And to just simply not have membership seems a lot easier to some churches. It's just like, if they want to come, let them come. And there's plenty of churches today operating like that. If a church operates like that, it's going to feel a little bit more like a store or a restaurant where you come in and get you need spiritually, and if you don't, if you don't need it, you don't come. And that kind of way of approaching it suits a lot of people just fine. Again, I'm just describing here. In these days, folks are, they're not as connected and they're not as committed as is in past generations. Also, many people are fairly jaded with authority. And sad to say, there's been plenty of bad examples of church authority and other sorts of authority that have given people a lot of reason for being somewhat cynical. Again, I'm just describing the lay of the land. We could also point to the fact that we're, on the whole, fairly affluent people, compared to the rest of the world, and we tend to have choices at our fingertips. These days, in the kind of digital realm, we have choices literally at our fingertips, and we can choose the best of what we want. When I queue up a song on Spotify, I'm going to pick the best music that I like by the best artist. And you can just get it. And they'll just stream you much more of the same. And so we're very used to kind of browsing and gleaning what's the best out there of all the possible choices. And so that kind of picking and choosing, I like it in lots of regards. But it kind of cuts against committing to a church and staying. And so, the people in Jerusalem, in some respects, were blessed not to have choices. There was no Second Apostolic Church, and so those 3,000 people just had one Christian group to join, and that was what the apostles were doing. Nevertheless, their being added still sets a pattern for all Christians. Even us today, as we are kind of surrounded by 1,000 choices. Just looking at the main features of this passage in Acts, you can see that Peter has called people to repent of their sins and to turn to Jesus as a Savior. Then they're baptized. Baptized being a sign and also a seal that of being washed by our sins by Jesus Christ and also being cleansed inwardly in receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to underscore there is, as this unfolds, what's going on there is what verse 39 calls being called by God. And it's a kind of inward movement where, convinced by the Holy Spirit, people turn to Jesus, convinced in their hearts. That's where it starts, but it doesn't stop there, because then they are visibly, and we could say organizationally, added to the church through baptism. And that's the second part that we see in verse 41. In other words, there in Acts, nobody gets to kind of fade away to their own private religious life where they just think about Jesus or whatever, but they come under the leadership of the apostles, and the apostles recognize their profession of faith and add them to the church, and the church lives there as a distinct community. The point here is that the local church is envisioned as a certain number of people who are under certain leaders. So we see that pattern here. We see it elsewhere through the New Testament as well. When Paul will write a letter, he will say, to the saints in Rome, let's say. And so that also envisions a certain number of people under the leadership there in Rome. It isn't just whoever happens to show up in the church on Sunday morning. It's a definite number of people. So we recognize that. There's another text that points very strongly in the same direction, and that's Hebrews 13:17, which says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. That also envisions a church as a distinct group of people gathered under distinct leaders. So if you come into a local church and you say to a member, who are your leaders? They will say, those guys. You know, those five or six or however many they are, but they're definite people. And if you ask those definite people, who are your members, they will know. It is the people to whom, who they care for and to whom they will give an account. We could also think about 1 Corinthians 5, where the Apostle Paul tells the church to expel a man from membership who's living in a shocking lifestyle. It's shocking even to our ears today. And Paul says, remove him. And that also assumes that there's a group, and there's an out, and there's an in. So again, that's the same kind of assumption. And so people enter the church through baptism. They may leave by choice, by moving, other circumstances, through discipline in rare cases. And then when people die, of course, they kind of graduate from the earthly church and go home to be with the Lord. But we see that it is a definite group. It's a committed group having certain members. Okay, just having laid that groundwork, I now want to address some objections to church membership, and we're going to think of four here under the second point. Four objections. First of all, some people will point out that membership is not in the Bible. You might have heard that before. It's not in the Bible. It never says church membership, and it never says thou shalt join a church. So we don't have to do it, is the argument. And against that, we note that Scripture adds people to the church through baptism, counts them, sees them as a definite group under definite leaders, to which there is an in and an out. So you don't have to call it church membership, but the concept that we mean when we practice church membership certainly is in Scripture. And any church worthy of the name of the of church needs to be taking care of people. And any, ordinarily, there's complexities, folks, and there's different situations, there's movement and all that from in membership, and I'm not talking about that tonight, but just kind of in the ordinary practice of the Christian life, any Christian who wants to be faithful ought to be admitted to a faithful body of believers overseen by faithful leaders. And that pattern goes all the way back to Pentecost. Is the word membership in the Bible? No. Is the concept in the Bible? Absolutely. So I just want you to be really confident about that tonight. What we do at Grace Church, what you do at Knox, has a scriptural warrant, and we do it in order to be faithful to God. All right, a second objection to membership, some would argue that membership makes no difference. In other words, you can trust in Jesus, and you can come to worship in a church, and you know the church service is open to all, as it should be. So you don't have to join to come and worship. You don't have to join usually to be part of a Bible study, a fellowship group, or to, you know, hang out with people at coffee hour. So one could argue, what does it really add to go through this membership process? Isn't that just kind of complicating things? And the answer to that question, first of all, is that if Scripture lays that out as a pattern, we should trust God and do what He says, even if we can't see the benefit right off. But also, there actually is a pretty clear benefit that you can see right off, and we could call it the benefit of submission. It's the benefit of submission. It is good for us to submit our will to rightful leadership and authority. I myself am a man under submission. The session oversees me. The presbytery holds my credentials. And I have to tell you, I'm a kind of a march to my own drum kind of guy in my instincts. You know, I'm a Californian. And California consists of everyone who like kept moving west because they wanted to like get away from structures and institutions. So I suppose maybe that's in my family background and maybe in my blood. But I also recognize that that's an instinct that's not completely healthy, because we need God-ordained authority in our lives. We need to be not just attending a church, but actually bound into a connection with the other believers so that we can love them, so that we can build into them, and they can build into us. That includes many joys, and it also includes challenges. We have to have patience and work at getting along with others and so forth. But as all that goes on, God develops in us maturity. And I'm not sure that you can really reach maturity without submission. I don't think so. So it's the gift of submission in a way that the church membership gives us. And that's actually, it sounds counterintuitive, but just think about it in terms of maturity, and it's a huge plus. A third objection, and this is a little more substantial, is just simply people have been hurt by the church. And that ties into my opening example. Jesus talked in Matthew 23 about the Pharisees who laid heavy burdens on people. And that happens. You know, it is true that sometimes church leaders, they drive people hard. And they kind of have an agenda, and they sort of hitch people to the wagon and sort of like whip the horses to make them go, so to speak. They're rough with people, and they can be harsh. Sometimes people who come with concerns just get, you know, not kindly dealt with, but just silenced. Some people get manipulated or even lied to, and there are other kinds of abuse that goes on that are worse than that. So that's a real thing. And, you know, that leaves a lot of damage. It leaves a person feeling really confused about their relationship with God. It leaves a person oftentimes unsure about their own judgment, because they think, how did I get involved with that? And then it leaves a person very gun-shy about churches. So just a couple things about that. Let's resolve as churches to be a place where people are treated, you know, fairly and kindly. And sometimes you have to be firm with folks, but let that be a necessity, not a sort of MO of roughness. And I think by God's grace, Knox Church exemplifies that. You know, when folks come in who've had a hard experience elsewhere, whether it's been a sort of authoritarian church or even a cult, a lot of times they just need time. They need time to heal. They need time to feel sane again and feel like they understand themselves, they understand the Lord, they understand the particular congregation, and they can make a good judgment. A lot of times they just need time, and it's good to give them space and love as they come to a place that's more settled. The fourth and the final thing I'll mention tonight is that church membership can get kind of stalled by fluid life circumstances. And here I'm especially thinking of the thought that church membership is for when you really get settled. Kind of like when you move somewhere, and about the time you start rooting for the local baseball team, that's when you're ready to join a church. It's like part of the routine of really rooting down. So it's like, well, I got married and we had kids, and now the kids are in the soccer league, and I guess it's time to join a church too. And let's just kind of do everything now. And I just submit to you that that's the wrong way to think about it, because who knows if life will ever settle down? And isn't it also in the transitional times that we especially need care? So we ought not to think about church membership as a kind of when we finally get into a settled pattern, but rather a commitment we have to being part of God's people in a local setting. So as I say all this, friends, I'm just aware that you may, I don't know your circumstances, and you may think like, hey, he's judging me. He's telling me what to do. I don't know your circumstances, and I'm just saying to you, these are the patterns in God's word. So think about this and just make sure that the patterns of your life are corresponding to the patterns of Scripture. And these are things you have to hash out before the Lord and with the counsel of others. Okay, thirdly, I want to just touch on the idea of transferring membership. And why am I talking about this? Sometimes at Grace Church, I feel like there's 10 people who really care about this, and they're all on the session. So I just want to explain to you a little bit more about the elders' point of view on transferring membership and why we value it so much. You know, most of us go through some seasons where we're between churches. We move, or we just need to migrate somewhere else that's more encouraging for our family or whatever. There's lots of circumstances and reasons why we're between churches. And in principle, that's all fine. But since the biblical pattern is for leaders to care for the people, what we like to do at Grace Church is we like to keep people on the rolls until we can hand them off. Sometimes we remove people if this goes on for years and years. Sometimes there's other reasons to remove someone relatively soon. But normally what we like to do is we like to help people or transition them to their next church body by a letter of transfer. It's a letter of transfer is when the session says to the church someone's going to join, this is a Smith family. They're terrific folks. Take good care of them. And that's a kind of baton pass from one group of leaders to another. And it's actually important. You know, those of you who are older parents will know the sensation of when your kids start going out in the evenings and like coming back later, that you lay in bed and you can't quite get to sleep until you hear someone coming in the front door. And then you know all the kids are at home and you can then rest. And I think for the elders, at least the elders at Grace Church, when folks move away or leave the church and they haven't joined somewhere else yet, we get kind of like, it's a sort of feeling like the kids aren't home. Like they're not under other leaders yet. And we just long to be able to pass the baton to someone else and say, you take care of them. And because we love them and we want them to be well taken care of. And so what I'm saying to you is that if you ever have to leave your church for whatever reason, would you please just prioritize joining a faithful church and find it, get involved, join, ask your elders for a letter of transfer, and it's just a good thing to do. It's not just good for the elders' like psychological well-being, state of mind. It's good for you because it's good to be cared for by God's people. So all that by way of a plug for church transfers, and just, you know, be diligent about this if you ever have to go somewhere else. Okay, a final thing tonight, just by way of encouragement, let's think about how the Lord Jesus Christ blesses church members in the structure of church membership. What's going on there is a signal of belonging. And it looks very ordinary on the one hand, because when people join, they stand up here. I suppose you do it the same at Knox. They say yes to the membership questions. If they haven't been baptized, they get baptized. That's a common Christian practice. It's all very ordinary in that sense. And this is a nice congregation. It's an ordinary local church with nice people and a pastor and elders. But it's not kind of inherent. It doesn't seem inherently remarkable, but it is. It's remarkable especially because of what it points to. When you are vetted by God's servants in the church and you are welcomed and joined to the number of God's people, what that really signifies is what Peter was talking about in his sermon. It signifies salvation. And it signifies that you have a place in God's people, and that when Christ comes again and he makes all things new, you will be enrolled among the number of the redeemed. Being received at a faithful local church is like a pointer and a signal in that direction. So that's the kind of transcendent dimension that we don't always think about, but it is most precious and to be valued, to be received at the local church because of what it is and because of what it points to. It signals belonging to God. And then one final thing here, just to leave you with a final thought, and that is that the existence of the church, the local body with members, signals something of God's hopefulness for the human race. I think sometimes people give up on church membership because they're not hopeful enough. They think, well, we're all flawed and every church has its failings, and so why should I do this? And that's a kind of pessimistic way of looking at things. When God looks at us, he's not pessimistic. He's realistic, but he's not pessimistic. Because God, first of all, makes us in his image as humans, but then God has redeemed us by the blood of his dear Son. He's put his Spirit inside us. What he is for us and what he is doing in us is most precious. And God is excited about his work in the church. Even with all of its twists and turns, and even though sometimes it gets messy, he's highly in favor of it, and he thinks what's going on at this local body is good in its essence. Same at Grace Vienna, because he's joined us together in Jesus, and he's teaching us to grow together. So God is hopeful as he looks at us, because he sees what he has made us and where he's taking us. And so think about it that way. God is he honors us by giving us a place among his people and even a part to play. As you come in, you're going to be guided, and others are going to serve you, but you're also going to serve them and build into them and give care to them as well. So it's, from that standpoint, it's most valuable and to be treasured. Let me pray for us. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of belonging to your people. We thank you for what that imparts to us in the present in terms of fellowship and assurance of having a place and being able to give and receive care. We thank you, too, how it points us ahead to our eternal home and coming glory with Jesus. So we pray we would greatly treasure belonging to your people, the church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.